this world needs to see is a church that is so in love with Jesus that they're in love with each other, and that regardless of our background or our economic circumstance.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, we will hear the conclusion of Pastor Brian Grant's first message on the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. In the earlier part of this message, which aired last week, Pastor Grant led us in discovering the great work of the Spirit in rebirthing the new believer through the work of regeneration, and how being a new creation in Christ Jesus opens the door to entirely new possibilities of unlimited spiritual potential. We also learned from Scripture how the Spirit work of regeneration created an entirely new race of people. This evening, we will hear more about that and how that is only a part of the great work of the Holy Spirit as He creates an impossibly new relationship between believers and with Christ Himself. Listen with us now as Pastor Grant brings the concluding part of his message entitled The Work of the Holy Spirit, Part 1. Here again is Pastor Grant.
The church is a brand new race made up of people from every kindred and tribe, united together by the Holy Spirit. We got to see this firsthand. 5 years ago, we were in Joppa, and we went to visit one of our sister churches. And at what was exciting about that church, and some of us know what happens in Israel, that there is continual battles between the Jews and the Arabs. Here we were in a sister church, and it was made up of Jews, who usually are rejectors of Jesus, made up of Arabs, who are usually rejectors of Jesus, but some of here in the church, Jews had come to faith in Christ, Arabs had come to faith in Christ, and here we have this one church with Jews and Arabs, this brand new race made up of Jews and Arabs, Jews and Gentiles, and instead of fighting, they were worshiping God and just loving upon each other. The Church of Christ ought to be one place where there is no racism. What a shame that 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning in these United States of America is the most segregated hour in our country, when black folks meet one place and white folks meet another place and yellow folks meet another place and Indians meet another place. But listen, my Bible tells me that the Church of Jesus Christ is a brand new race made up of everybody. And as long as God gives us breath, we're going to work as hard as we can to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the black, to the white, to the yellow, and the brown. Amen? Amen. So you didn't know some people regard themselves as yellow. I hope you're not offended. I told you my story that this gentleman who rescued us when we were on the train, we were on a train from France to London. We didn't know where to get off. And all of a sudden, this man appeared. And he said, because I was, you know, I'll make a decision even if I'm not sure it's the right one. Sometime a decision has to be made. So I made the decision. We're taking our stuff to get off the train. And the gentleman suddenly said, this is not your stop. He says, wherever you see me get off, that's when you get off. Of course, I had to say, is this a setup? Jesus, is this a setup? The Lord said, no, this is for real. But you know that man, actually, when we finally found the ferry, the big ferry, and we started, this ferry left land, and the restaurant was now open. The gentleman took us into the line to get food, and when it was time to pay the bill, he said, no. He said, you're a friend of the yellow man. He says, you're a friend of the yellow man. I take care of you. May God give all of us that sense that we, as believers in Jesus Christ, that racism, that whether the person is from wherever they are, we will embrace them. Amen. We will embrace them. We will show them the love of Christ, that indeed the world may see. What this world needs to see is a church that is so in love with Jesus that they're in love with each other, and that regardless of our background or our economic circumstance, you know what is a blessing? That there's some people in our church who have less than others in the church. And may God help us that regardless of your financial circumstance, listen, you may be the brokest person in the church. It does not matter. We are one in Jesus. Amen. The world needs to see this church. Listen, we are a brand new race. May God help us that we might be agents of reconciliation. Second, the baptism of the Holy Spirit made us a part of Christ's body. Now, I want you to stay with me here, because for some of us, this has a theological statement that we like to make, that we are the body of Christ. But I think there is something here that we might have missed. So promise you'll stay awake until we finish this little part. Listen, here's what 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to read for you verse 12 and 13. And it says there, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." Did you see it? You said, "No, I didn't see it." Let me break it down. Your body is one unit, right? But it has what? Many members. Notice what the verse is saying. The verse did not say, "So is the body of Christ." The verse says, "So is Christ." It says, just as your body is one body but has many members, it's saying, so also is Christ. Christ is one body, but he has many members. Are you getting it? He is one body, but he has many members. And then in verse 13, it tells you what happened. "For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into the one body." Are you seeing it? The Spirit of God has taken us and made us part of this one body of Christ. He's not saying the church. He's talking about the fact that every believer in Jesus Christ are part of one body of Christ. I hope I made it plain. I hope I broke it down. Here's what I'm really saying. We are as much a part of Christ as our arms are a part of our body. Did you hear what I just said? Sometimes I don't think we get that. What God is trying to get across to us is that we are part of his body. It's not that they're just like my hand and my feet are part of my body. I am that integral to the body of Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 and 28 says this. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are one in Christ. So, what's the big deal? You said, "Brother Brian, you said we may have it as a theological fact." Where's the beef? Ephesians chapter 5. Hold your finger in 1 Corinthians, but let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse number 28. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28. "So husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church." I'm coming back there, but I don't want you to miss that. I want you to grab the whole idea that you are as much a part of the body, Christ's body. You are much a part of Christ's body as your hand is a part of your body. I want you to have that in your mind. Read here, because he's trying to let you know. He talks about husbands and wives, and then he immediately switches gear and he says, what verse was I reading? Just verse 29, just as the Lord does the church. The Lord does this for the church because the church is his body. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. You see how integral, how intimate he's making out. He says, you, Christian, you are a member of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. I haven't gotten to where I'm. Let me just stop. We used to sing the sicker song. I'm wrapped up, tangled up, tied up in what? In Jesus. Am I right? Are you starting to realize you really are wrapped up, tangled up, and tied up in Jesus because you're part of his body? This is not some theological stuff. He's saying you are a part of my body. For we are members of his flesh. I said that already. Verse 31. These two verses used to puzzle me. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The two shall become one flesh. We understand what that means in marriage, sort of, right? But then he says, the next verse says, but I'm not talking about a husband and wife. Verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I'm really speaking about Christ and the church. Oh, for me, this was sort of hallelujah ground when I understand, and I hope I'm getting this. The Spirit of God is making this plain to you, that what God is actually saying. He said, the two shall become one flesh. The two shall become one flesh. Just as in marriage, the two become one flesh. God is trying to get across to us that the minute you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, the two became one flesh. He says, I'm speaking about Christ and his church.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
So what's the big deal? Verse 29. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but what? Nourishes and cherishes. Believer in Jesus Christ, just stop a minute today and say, God, is this really how you feel about me? God is saying, listen, despite your history, despite your drama, God is saying, believer in Jesus Christ, I want you to know, just as a husband and a wife are joined together, you are joined together with me. And unlike a husband and wife who are imperfect in their nourishing and cherishing, I want you to know that I perfectly nourish and cherish you. I perfectly cherish you. Aren't you glad that God himself cherishes you? He cherishes us. Listen, are you still alive? Are you still awake? Do you understand why it is possible? Why the door is so full of possibility? Are you understanding that regeneration opens the door to possibility? Because you are tangled up and tied up. You are part of the body of Christ. And he says, I nourish and I cherish my body. I feed it. I take care of it. You might be here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want you to know you're missing out on everything. Because once you come to Jesus, you enter a relationship with the Almighty God. You end up in, listen, this is not just theory. You end up into a real relationship with the Almighty God. And he is saying to you this morning, listen, I don't only want to save you. I want to nourish you. I want to cherish you. I just want to lavish you with my love. Third, he not only regenerates us, he not only baptized us, but he sealed us So what are some of the new things that happened at salvation? Regeneration gave us what? A new nature. Baptism made us a new race. The gifts gave us new purpose. Amen? The Holy Spirit seal gave us a new value. The Holy Spirit seal gave us a new value. Since you're in Ephesians already, just turn to chapter 1 of Ephesians for me, please. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In him you also trusted. I'm in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 13. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. The minute we received Christ as Savior, we were sealed by the Spirit. The purpose of a seal is to secure property. A letter is sealed to secure its contents. Am I right about that? But I've come to find out that you don't seal or secure things that have no value. You know, you go on your vacation and your hotel room has a safe. You don't put your socks in there. Am I right about that? You don't put the extra Kleenex in the safe. You're going to put that jewelry in the safe. Am I right? You're going to put something that has value. You secure things that have value. We're so valuable to God, he sealed us and guarantees the security of our salvation. After all, what less could he do? We've become a part of his body, and we're so valuable, he seals us, guaranteeing our salvation. Not even the devil in hell can snatch me away from God. Amen? You know, I speak to people sometimes who don't have security. I was speaking with a physician this week, and she's saved. But she's so worried that she's going to lose her salvation if she does anything wrong, that she would lose her salvation. And so I said to her, you better believe it. I don't try and walk with the Lord because I'm afraid of losing my salvation. I'm walking with the Lord because I love the Lord. I can't lose my salvation. I'm not following him because of fear. I'm so glad my kids know that no matter what they do, they're too big now anyhow. But when they were little, they knew I wouldn't kick them out. They were always going to be part of the family. And God wants us to know we are a part of his family. And nothing but nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And so the apostle says, what can separate us? Man, he lists a whole long list of stuff, and then he concludes, nothing is able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. If you're here this morning and you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, but you slipped away, don't ever think you have been kicked out. You're still in. The thing you need to do this morning is to do like David after he sinned. You need to come and say, God, I have sinned. Won't you forgive me? My Bible says that the Lord Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them what? Eternal life. And he says, and they shall never perish. Simply, I sometimes ask folks, when you got saved, what type of life you got? They say, everlasting life. Sometimes, you know, you run into somebody who said they lost their salvation. And I said, but I was saved. I said, when you got saved, what you got? I got everlasting life. But I don't. I said, you don't have it anymore? No. I said, that everlasting was mighty short. How can you have something that's everlasting? And 6 months later, the everlasting life. You see, we got messed up because some of them battery companies tell us that this is ever ready, ever liar. You know, they give us this thing, idea that this thing won't burn out. All some of them light bulbs that tell you about 6 months, the thing that's supposed to last 18 years is burnt out. But that's not my salvation. Every promise in the book is mine. We have eternal security. The seal of God makes it clear that I have value. I can never lose my salvation. I may be talking to somebody this morning and you don't have that sense of security. You're not even sure you're saved. I fly a lot. And sometimes, unfortunately, I end up on the standby list. And you end up on the standby list sometimes because they're overbooked. When you're on the standby list, I don't know if you've ever ended up on a standby list. When you're on a standby list, you do not get a boarding card with a seat assignment. It's very nerve-wracking when you're flying standby. The lady at the desk tells you, Mr. Grant, don't worry, you can take your seat. As soon as we find a seat, we'll let you know. Just relax. You need not come and check with us because we will let you know as soon as we find your seat. Of course, 5 minutes later, I'm back. Did you find me a seat? Mr. Grant, I told you that if I find you a seat, I'll let you know. But I'm pacing the floor. 10 minutes later, did you find me a seat? Mr. Grant, the answer is the same thing I said the last time. If I find you a seat, I'll let you know. What nerve-wracking stuff it is to fly standby. But when I got my boarding pass, and it says, Brian Grant, C-15. Has to be C because I want the N seat so I can stick my leg. C-15. I sit down. I take out a book. I take out my iPad. I relax. I got a boarding pass. I'm so glad I have a boarding pass to heaven. I'm so glad I'm not nervous about it. I'm not pacing the floor. I wonder if I'm going to get it. When I was 9 years old, I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart and life. I thanked him for dying on the cross for my sin. I admitted I was a sinner. And I said, Lord Jesus, won't you please come into my heart? And guess what he did? And the minute Jesus came into my heart, I got a boarding pass to heaven. Listen, there's an inheritance in heaven that the Bible says is reserved, and it has Brian Grant's name written on it. Amen. Let me ask you, do you have a boarding pass? Are you sure? Or are you one of those still traveling standby? You can fix it today. You can fix it. You can say, God, if Christians ought to have this feeling of security, I admit I don't have this security. So probably it means I don't have a boarding pass. But this morning, I want to have the assurance that I'm saved. Would you do a work in my heart today?
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.